Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that he never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know him and grow up in him and be ready for his appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Overcoming Knowledge. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm reading verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. When you came to Christ the first time, did you wake up spiritually to righteousness? Under the new covenant, sin will not separate you from the love of God, but it will separate you from having fellowship with God. You will experience peace and joy by grace. Use this experience as a guide to his presence when the pressure increases to go back to your old ways. Those who lose their peace and joy need to repent of being spiritually lazy. God knows what you need to know now and has given you the ability to get to the truth by the Spirit. Use God's grace to learn obedience to the truth. Through thinking, you will start to doubt, judge God, yourself, and believe lies. Those not doing the will of God are ignorant of what they have been given by grace through faith. You are not under law, but under grace to learn how to obey the Spirit consistently." We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm reading verse 13. "Then came Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Verse 14. "But John forbade him, saying, I need to be baptized of thee, and come thou to me." Verse 15. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. John the Baptist testified, Jesus is the Lamb of God, sent to take away the sins of the whole world." John 1, 29 and verse 36. To complete his calling, Jesus had to overcome the cross in a human body, be baptized, suffer and die. He tasted death by grace and overcame because he never sinned by acknowledging God in all his ways. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for your life personally. Baptism is a declaration that you are not going to consult your own will, which Jesus never did. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 to 14. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm reading verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Verse 13. "Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Verse 14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spirit of the world believes God gave you a brain and expects you to use it. His followers that have rejected the spirit of the world believe sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will for their own life in thought, purpose, or action. those reducing Christianity into another religion still have the spirit of the world in their foundation. Where they do not ask God, their lives are built on lies. The Spirit was given to tell you what you could do freely, but not without a complete renewing of the mind first. At salvation, you should have been convinced that there is nothing good in the flesh, and you need to work out your salvation by not doing anything without asking the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:12. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm studying verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. His paths are paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, verse 3. Those with the confidence in the flesh do not believe they have to ask God everything. The unbelief in your heart causing you not to ask God everything is a lie that you believe about God for the sake of your flesh, because you do not trust him with your whole life. Those wise in their own eyes do not overcome evil. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on pages 2 and 3, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the devil uses many tricks to keep Christians from becoming spiritual and growing up spiritually. We must not be ignorant of his devious lies. God has given me many truths that expose the devil's plans. God wants all of his children to know these truths. I have been sharing truth with Christians for over 40 years. I've traveled to over 100 different nations around the world. I've shared with believers from many cultural and denominational backgrounds. Some have had ears to hear while others have not. I've been astounded by the large number of Christians who do not know the basic truths God wants his children to know. A few years ago, I asked the Father, what is the main reason your children do not know what you want them to know? He answered, what they think they know hinders them from knowing what I want them to know. I asked God what this meant. He replied, when you think you know something, whether it is the truth or not, you release your faith into it. From that point on, this is what you believe about that particular subject. You no longer seek any more information on the topic because you already believe you know the truth. If someone tries to share something different with you, you will usually resist it because what they say is contrary to what you believe. You believe you are right, so they must be wrong. This is not a problem if what you believe is the truth, but what if it's actually a lie? The word no in Strong's is number 1097, a prolonged form of a primary verb to know, absolutely, in a great variety of applications and with many implications. To allow, be aware of, feel, have, known, knowledge, perceive, be resolved, can speak even, be sure and understand. Paul was alive when Jesus and John the Baptist were on the earth. Paul was using his mind to come to the truth at the time. He judged Christ, which is contrary to the law. Paul missed the opportunity to get to know him personally because he did not like conviction and correction. God wants you to understand all things through the conviction of the Spirit and not with your mind because it's corrupt. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 25, this is Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 I'm reading verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Those who are wise choose the narrow way, so their lives are always under pressure to expose sin and wrong motives. Your wrong attitude to conviction and correction through the Spirit will hinder you getting close to God. You will have issues with and judge God as being wrong in areas where you still have any opinions. Paul continued in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The devil used the lies based on one or two verses that you want to believe for the sake of your flesh. Those that love truth and conviction create a sin list. Through overcoming knowledge, they watch God at work in their own lives and sin disappear as they abide in Christ faithfully. If all things are not passing away, you are deceiving yourself. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34 says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You are utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant and continue to be so, lacking the sense of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. By using your mind to come to the truth, you're rejecting what Jesus paid for on the cross. You've been given access to God and the best teacher on any subject. God can see the end from the beginning. He's willing to make all the right decisions by grace. With the Holy Spirit, you only need to maintain your communication through righteousness, and that includes doing consistently what he has already told you. Those that get a grieving in their spirit on a way that seems right are spiritual. Those that harden their hearts to conviction and sense no remorse are carnal. Have no mercy on your flesh if you are born again, because if you don't, you'll become ignorant and religious. We read in Matthew 13, verse 24 and 25. This is Matthew 13, verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. Verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You are responsible for what you believe in your heart. Those in the church using their minds trying to come to the truth are asleep today. You will not recognize the devil's lies using your mind. After salvation, live in the light as he is in the light, and the wrong seed will not enter the ground God prepared for his word in your life. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, and verse 16. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The word of Christ is not the written word. It comes to you by the Spirit. In the same way, Jesus' words brought conviction and correction to his own disciples following him. God does not have two standards. It may feel like too much information when correction replaces lies, vain knowledge, and ignorance with the truth. You can memorize the written word, but where the word of Christ is dwelling richly, you will not sin. What you learned on the narrow way following Christ will reappear as sound doctrine, like a song about your experiences, or as a testimony or hymn. James wrote in James chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. This is James chapter 1, and reading verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The rampant outgrowth of wickedness in a trial is proof that you are resisting the need to study the truth. Christ is trying to show you through the Holy Spirit. Jesus knows all the vain nonsense that you have filled your life with by listening to your own flesh, and offers the narrow way to expose everything. Studying areas where you are convicted, you will get the true knowledge you need to save your souls. Listen to your flesh, and you will deceive yourself. Choose wisely. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John chapter 1. I'm reading verse 16. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The word fullness in Strong's is number 4138. Comes from another word which means repletion or completion. That is subjectively what fills, or objectively what is filled as a container, performance or period, which is put in to fill up. That piece that filled up or filling or full or making full. If you want God's fullness, you need a clear out. The law is an excellent source of conviction for repentance. Looking humble does not work with God. But those separated from God through sin under the old covenant, that made an effort to humble themselves personally with sackcloth and ashes, got more grace to repent. If you are not sinning on the narrow way, you have true knowledge that God wants you to know now. Those still making decisions with their own mind as Lord of their lives today are proud and foolish. Everyone under the new covenant should come to fullness in Christ efficiently. Use a notebook to repent deeply with grace and truth. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Those learning to hear God in a few areas like church ministry or prophecy never get to know Jesus. Those with two lifestyles are working hard to resist the truth through conviction if they're born again. They do something before men outwardly and secretly, whatever they want when they want. Those who are humble grow rapidly with daily conviction and correction and put on Christ in all areas. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verses 15 to 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm reading verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The Holy Spirit is willing to guide you into all truth, especially in these last days. You do not need to be removed from the world to learn spiritually if you're following Christ. Truth is more than knowledge or mere guidelines. It is a pure source of conviction. We read in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 34. This is John chapter 8, I'm reading verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free. Verse 34, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. You can be set free from the devil's lies if you accept that through your own mind you cannot know the truth. And you'll become a prisoner again, listening to lies through the flesh. With the Holy Spirit as your teacher, you will get enough time to repent of lies and overcome sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 and 13. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. I'm reading verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Matthew 24, 12 and 13 says, And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures to the end will be saved. Be prepared to endure rejection in any congregation, departing from the truth, right up to the time when you die. Especially now when lawlessness is increasing in the world, indicating that Jesus is coming for his bride soon. You should be rejoicing always. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, I'm reading to verse 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Verse 11. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Verse 12. But these are natural, brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it being better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22, But it has happened that unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The way of righteousness includes keeping his specific commandments to show God that you love him, John 14:15, under all circumstances. You will become a servant of corruption or a preacher of unrighteousness if you do not make Jesus the functional Lord of your life. It may be hard to believe that someone who repented from bad works in the beginning can backslide completely and be heading for destruction again. Those who go back to using their minds to make decisions have a shallow foundation and will become lawless again after salvation. We read in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. This is Acts chapter 23. I'm reading verse 1. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." Use the grace you received in the beginning to get more grace and truth. Paul could not stop telling others how Jesus, without using his divine nature, was raised from the dead by never sinning. Because of his deep repentance, Paul had many opportunities to share how he had a clear conscience before God, serving Christ through the Holy Spirit by never leaning to his own understanding. We read in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 24 to 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 24. "Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Verse 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Verse 26. "But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep, as I've said unto you." Verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Verse 29. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30. "I and my Father are one." The Jews did not see their need to hear, trust, and obey like sheep in the wilderness, with Jesus as their great shepherd. The Jews were looking for a Messiah that would complete their religious projects, build synagogues, and remove those things that were making their earthly lives uncomfortable. As lawkeepers, they thought they were ready for the Messiah with an outward form of righteousness. If you believe no man can snatch you out of his hand just because you're born again and used in ministry today, and you are deceiving yourself. Jesus was one through righteousness, so that the thoughts in the Father's mind were in his mind too. If you get rid of your opinions, repent, and have no issues with God, his thoughts can be in your mind too by the Spirit. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, this is in the book of Revelation chapter 2, I'm reading verse 4. "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, volume 3, on spiritual maturity, in the introduction on page 3, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "A broken heart. If you want to enjoy a vital, blessed relationship with your Father, the first works cannot be neglected. If you proclaim to love Jesus Christ, but continue to resist him, humble yourself and ask him to bring you to brokenness. Your spiritual life will struggle if you love anything else more than God. You will face unnecessary temptation, because your heart is divided. He needs to be your first love. It's never too late to do your first works over again. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. I'm reading verse 1. Lo, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Verse 4. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Verse 5. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. With the everlasting covenant, you will never perish because you do what he says precisely, with the right motive and right attitude, without inclining your ear to hear the right voice and seeking him while he is near. Your life is drifting away from God. Through hearing his voice consistently in all areas, you can forsake your own ways and have something eternal instead. Paul wrote in Romans 14 and verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is only by living in his kingdom that you will be ready for his appearing. Whenever you lose peace and joy, repent and get back in his kingdom immediately. Admit that you've been spiritually lazy. Enter his kingdom by humbling yourself. Use a notebook to repent deeply of lies and seek to hear and obey the Spirit consistently in all areas. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 18. And all things are of God, and who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Verse 21. For he hath made himself to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. God can use anything to speak to you. However, the Holy Spirit is willing to guide you into all truth if you will listen. Through thinking, you will start to doubt, judge yourself, and believe many lies. You're not qualified to help anyone else repent in any area where you have not experienced grace and truth yourself and been set free from lies with his help. Paul was an ambassador for Christ with a clear conscience. You should have put things right with God at the beginning, still conscious of how you lived your life in the past and betrayed Christ. Those reconciled to God with contentment and godliness are given the ministry of reconciliation. James wrote in James chapter 4, verses 6 to 10. This is James chapter 4, I'm reading verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse 19. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Submission to God is obeying the Holy Spirit consistently, not just humbling yourself. You must resist the devil as part of your repentance. Recognize how the devil got access through the lies you wanted to believe for the sake of your flesh, or you'll become a hypocrite again. God knows what is required in your life and your repentance. Your restitution for a clear conscience should have been confirmed with someone who is already following Jesus consistently. In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 21 says, because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God puts the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. How, you ask? In Christ. God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. Paul confirmed that the religious Jews had a confidence in the flesh. Paul, however, had been put right with God and discovered repentance is the evidence of true knowledge. Do not let anyone give you some half-truths that your flesh wants to hear, so that you do not experience the life-changing words of Christ. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. This is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Verse 28. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. You should hear the words of Christ today. We all make mistakes, but with grace and truth you should be learning. The knowledge God provides is on a need-to-know basis, designed to set you free and provide a sure foundation for the storms of life. Through conviction and correction, Jesus wants you to be perfect at a higher level of pressure, asking God consistently what to do. In the Message Bible, Matthew 7, 24 and 29 says, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They're foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you're like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you're like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. And when Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. It was apparent that he was living everything he was saying. Quite a contrast to their religion teachers. This was the best teaching they had ever heard. God wants everyone to wake up and see where their foundation is shallow or built on lies today. Jesus has paid the price for you to have all the help you need to change. Those on a way that seems right, with their own version of right and wrong, are astonished when they hear the truth. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is Romans chapter 12. I'm starting in verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Did you become a living sacrifice at salvation? If not, why not? He is merciful, making sure you have a chance to repent of any lies you believe so you can prove the perfect will of God in your life. In situations where you do not ask the Lord, your mind is not being renewed yet. You will get a spiritual education relying on God's grace and power to deliver you by obeying him perfectly. More grace is available in these last days because temptation is increasing everywhere to use your mind to make decisions in this world. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. This is Hebrews chapter 6. I'm reading verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. Make sure you repented of dead works, not just bad works at salvation. Start at a low level of pressure, hearing God. You will only sin when you try to make decisions faster than the speed at which you can hear. A dead work is any work that the Holy Spirit did not tell you to do. Dead works will hinder you from doing what God has actually called you to do. Something that appears good is the enemy of an activity God wants and can take up a valuable time to do what God wants instead. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 5. I'm reading verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. If your flesh is comfortable, then you are in the wrong kingdom. Those in his kingdom now, and ready for his appearing, keep his commands under the pressure God allows on the narrow way. God has commands suited for every level of maturity, so you can learn loving obedience by grace, ready for his kingdom now. Jesus knows every person and what they can handle. Jesus died so that you could be born of God, not just born again by confessing your sin. Those born of God hear and obey his voice clearly, and obey even with the devil on the loose. Those on the Broadway want guidelines, not commandments. Those with a confidence in the flesh want an option to make decisions with their mind after hearing his voice. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 32 to 36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 12. I'm reading verse 32. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33. This he said then, signifying what death he should die. Verse 34, the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Verse 35, then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knows not where he's going." Verse 36, "While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spoke Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Those unwilling to embrace conviction have a confidence in the flesh. They're not learning spiritually. God let the Jews kill his own son to prove they were serving the devil and heading for destruction. The conviction of killing the Christ was an opportunity for every Jew to wake up, repent, and not perish. The Gentiles watched how God gracefully responded to his rebellious people and were then also drawn to obey God. There are two kingdoms on earth right now, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Examine your fruit established in testing times to prove what kingdom you are serving. If you want a copy of these notes, please write and answer the following questions and send your answers to me. Number one, in your own words, can you explain the statement, "What you think you know will hinder you from knowing what you need to know now"? Number two, tell me in your own words what it means for the word of Christ to richly dwell in you. Number three, how did you respond to conviction when you started following Christ and why? Also, how do you respond to conviction now and why? If you want to hear, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start, make him Lord and live in the light, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you really want to submit to the Spirit by regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow path. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good, and it signposted heaven this way. Many well-meaning good people attending church are on this road. I believe this book will help you. The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been talking about overcoming knowledge. You should have a revelation and knowledge from God for situations in your life you struggle with for years. If you're a child of God, you have learned many lessons already, but there's still more. And every day you should see something old passing away in your life, something new coming. This is the evidence you're still in Christ. Do not deceive yourself. We're coming to the greatest time in history for those who've made themselves ready. And by ready, we mean somebody who hears his voice all the time, consistently, under any kind of pressure, so they can function in the kingdom that is coming. And that kingdom will be by the Spirit, not by the things that we recognize with our minds and what we see in the natural. God bless you. Please let me pray with you if this is your desire to have overcoming knowledge. Father, I give you thanks for everyone that has heard this message. I pray that you challenge them about their attitude and their response to conviction. And that, Father, they will rejoice because of the light that they've received through this message and through everything you're going to show them on a daily basis. For those of them who are serious, show them how to set up a notebook so they can repent deeply of the things that you need to show them about their lives personally. I commit them unto you. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. I'd love to hear from you. God bless you and thank you for listening.